can wash away my sins. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is that flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is that flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
And he cometh unto the disciples.
Hang on for a moment, please. And he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, What? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Hello, everyone. I'm Chaplain John McTernan, and this is our Monday evening Bible teaching with Pastor Fred Peetman and prayer time. So we have Pastor Fred here, and when he's finished teaching, then we have the prayer time, which is watch and pray after this section of scripture, Matthew 26, verses 40 and 41. So let me see. And we have Pastor Fred here. Hello, Pastor Fred.
Hello, John. Lord bless you, and glad to be with you all.
Well, thank you. Thank you. How's your day been today?
It's been reasonably good. No complaints. The Lord is very good.
Okay. Well, we're excited. Are we getting a honed version of your preaching on Sunday?
Possibly, yeah. Yeah. Yes.
Okay.
It was, yeah.
Well, let me open up with a word of prayer, and then we'll listen to what you have to teach us. Father, we thank you for this time together, Lord. We thank you for your word. Lord, the Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So the more we hear the word, the more our faith grows. And the Bible says without faith, it is impossible to please God. So as our faith grows, it's very pleasing to you. And whatever we do is always under the blood of the everlasting covenant that you made with us at Calvary, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, Pastor Fred, turn it over to you.
Okay. A lot of this you taught me, so the word I got from the Lord for Sunday was one word. Usually I get a lot more, but I couldn't understand what I had to preach about, and the word was fire, F-I-R-E. And, of course, there's many different kinds of fire. There's the fire of the Holy Spirit. There's the fire that Abraham carried in one hand as he's about to sacrifice his son while he's got the knife in the other hand. That was real fire. There was Moses with the burning bush. That was fire that didn't burn. So there were many different fires, but as I was studying it more, I came to understand that it was to be a lesson to the church on who God is from that aspect, especially when he says such things as the Lord is a consuming fire. But he gives us a lot of illustrations to this. And so bear with me and see if we can understand a few of the different ways, and yet to focus on the one thing, that the atmosphere around God is a holy atmosphere, and that fire that describes him and tells us who he is a real fire. It's not figurative. And that's a sadness in the church today. There's a lot of figurative ideas about the Bible. Very few people. And in fact, there's big movements if you begin to understand what is happening in these last days. Big movements away from a literal aspect of the flood and the many different things that the Lord has given to us, Sodom and Gomorrah. A lot of people are teaching that these things are the millennial reign, the marriage supper of the Lamb, rapture, so many things. Everything seems to be figurative, and if it's figurative, it's figure it out for yourself, basically, and whatever you think it is, and that's what it is. But if it's literal, then it can't be changed from too much. I hope I'm trying to make myself clear here. But, all right, a couple of quick, well, let's go to a couple of chapters in the Psalms. Well, he said, calls himself, let's go to Psalm 50, verse 3, where he says, "Our God shall come and shall not keep silence." I'm juggling the Bible around here. "Our God, a fire shall devour him before him, and it shall be tempestuous round about him." So there's a fire around God here in Psalm 50, verse 3. Psalm 97, verse 3, "A fire goeth out before him and burneth up his enemies round about." So we're talking about the Lord reigning, and verse 1 in that it says, "Let the earth rejoice and let the multitude of isles be glad," but then a fire goes before him. And then in as an illustration for the people of God, remember when he called them to go into the promised land, he made a promise to them. And he said, and there's another illustration of what this fire is and what it means, but he links himself with this, Deuteronomy 9:3. "Understand, therefore, this day, that the Lord thy God is he who goeth over before you as a consuming fire. He shall destroy them, he shall bring them down before your face, so shalt thou drive them out and destroy them quickly, as the Lord hath said unto thee." So the Lord is giving us this illustration of there is a fire that comes out from him. One of the most classic of all scriptures that you'll find that God is a consuming fire is in Hebrews 12. Hebrews 12, 18 to 29. Verse 29, where it says that our God is a consuming fire. Now, they first, God's people, this goes back, 5,000 years at least. The God's people first got a taste of the fire as a nation when God came down in Sinai. And so let's read that, chapter 12. Verse 18 8:29 of Hebrews. And as I said, it ends with, "For our God is a consuming fire." I'm not trying to make anything esoteric here. I'm merely separating the many different aspects of fire in Scripture. The Lord Jesus says he will baptize us with the Holy Spirit and with fire. And there are many times when he promises the fire won't burn you, and we'll see that. There was an illustration in my own life, and nobody believes it but me, where the Lord protected me. Well, first of all, when I was 17 or 18, where the Lord protected the office that I was working in. I had, and I've told you this story before, but just to show you that there is a, God separates us as his children, not that I was worthy of it at the time, but I was born again and baptized and following the Lord as best as a 17-year-old could at that time in a Baptist church. And so I was a cashier in a company, and then we were in this old warehouse, very old, and in the middle of that warehouse was an office, and it was like no bigger than a kind of a toilet, single toilet. And that's where I would have my cashier or window. And I remember distinctly the windows were crinkly. You know, you couldn't see outside. And this was in the middle of this this warehouse. And this was in Australia. And the warehouse had just been filled. They were selling TVs. And it was the beginning in the early years of TV in Australia. And so the only way they were selling them was through agents going around selling to the many different stores and individually to people. And these agents would come back with cash and checks, and I would accept them, and they would take the TVs out and sell them and bring the money in. And so why they trusted a young little boy like me at the time for that great, there was a lot of money. It was $40,000-$50,000 a day. Other days it'd be 12 or 15, but it was like cash flowing and checks flowing back and forth. Everyone wanted a TV in those days because they just had opened up. Well, next morning we go there, and I was supposed to put the money in the safe every night as a faithful servant, and so I would. But one night, apparently I didn't do that. And I walk in the next morning, drive in from about 8 miles from home, and the place is in ashes, totally. The warehouse with all the brand new TVs that were just delivered the night before, totally obliterated, nothing but ashes. But would you believe, in the middle of that warehouse that had burnt down, standing there was an office, a tiny little office, no bigger than a toilet. And not a window was cracked, not a door, anything was burnt inside that office. And lo and behold, I had forgotten to put the money into the safe that day, that night. The money was all there. I don't know how many thousand it was, but the Lord protected me from the fire. And it was an indication to me that the Lord was going to protect me. And then another time I was working at the gas station. There was an explosion with a vacuum cleaner, the spark of the vacuum cleaner. We were on top of the, there was a spill, and gasoline was everywhere all over the ground. And I was over the diesel port, and as the moment I turned the vacuum cleaner on, it blew up, and all the gas in that port blew up with it, and it went sky high up into the air and burnt the flags that were our advertising things, and then burnt the leaves on the trees further up, and then came back down all over me. It was like this gasoline, burning gasoline, went straight up in the air and then came down over me holding this vacuum cleaner that had just blown up in my hand. And I didn't get touched, but I know the fire went all over me because people told me about it afterwards, that this actually had happened. But I didn't come away from there with one hair singed, any smell of smoke, and it was a miracle that we got the fire out. It was over 12,000 gallons of gasoline that had just been poured in, and it could have blown up anywhere, anytime. But the Lord protected me, and I didn't deserve it, but he did. So fire, the thing that I'm trying to express is that what we're going to learn through these scriptures is the fact that the Lord will protect his own from the fire. And then what John taught me was that the atmosphere around the Lord, and we'll hear more about that in a moment, is a burning fire. And any rebelliousness, any sin, any unholiness is immediately devoured. But anything that is sanctified by the blood of the Lord Jesus is protected and cannot burn. So let's look at these scriptures in Hebrews 12, 18 to 29. And you know it's about them in Sinai, going back 5,000 years, and they're being scared about the fire that they saw, because they actually saw it. There's verses in the Old Testament that let you know that not only did Moses see the fire on Sinai when the Lord came down to give the law, but the people saw it, and they were dead scared. Everyone was scared. And then we end up with the verse 29, which we'll read. But let's look at 18, verse 18. For you are not come unto the mount that might be touched and that burned with fire. In other words, he'd warned everyone not to go near it with their animals or with themselves. Otherwise, they would be devoured because they didn't have the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ to cover their sins, nor unto blackness and darkness and tempest and the sound of a trumpet and the voice of words, which voice they heard, entreated that the word should not be spoken to them anymore. They were scared. They didn't want to hear the word of the Lord anymore because it might kill them. That's what they thought. Verse 20, for they could not endure that which was commanded. And if so much as a beast touched the mountain, it shall be stoned or thrust through with a dart. And so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake. Even Moses, the meekest man on the earth, prince, the shepherd, the guy who likes floating in the water when he's a little baby. He even, after all that he'd been through, he quaked. But you are come unto Mount Zion, and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven. It's amazing. And to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. See that you refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth. But now he hath promised, saying, yet once more I shake the earth. I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word, yet once more, signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken, as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. You know, we're heading for that, folks, but let's keep going. Verse 28, Hebrews 12. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and a godly fear. Now here it is, verse 29. This is what we're talking about. For our God is a consuming fire. For our God is a consuming fire. Now, my friend, I told you that we would look at different aspects of the fire. And if you'll come with me to Isaiah 43, 1 to 8. Isaiah 43, 1 to 8. Now, here we have another side of Scripture, the Lord telling you about what you can expect from the fire. I'd like you to go through the whole chapter, but that's, I don't have the time. But let's just look at this. Isaiah 43, 1 to 8. Where the Lord's comforting Jacob, but that he is our only Savior. But now, thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by my name, by thy name. Thou art mine. When you pass through the waters, I'll be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. And when you walk through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I gave Egypt for your ransom, Ethiopia and Seba for thee. Since you were precious in my sight, you've been honorable, and I have loved you. Therefore I will give men for thee, and people for thy life. Fear not, for I am with thee. I'll bring thy seed from the east and gather thee from the west. I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from far and my daughters from the ends of the earth, even everyone that is called by my name. For I have created for my glory. I have created him for my glory. I have formed him. Yes, I have made him. Bring forth the blind people that have eyes and the deaf that have ears. And let all nations be gathered together and let the people be assembled. And that's another picture of this fire that the Lord said. Well, we talked about the water here and the fire, but come with me now to Mark 9, 38 to 50. We read our God is a consuming fire. We read that when we go through the fire, when God's people go through the fire, and that's the blood bought, sprinkled with the blood of Jesus, a person who has accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior and is following him, there's no way that he wants us to be consumed like the rebels, like the sinners, like the people who do not accept him. Remember, he says that whosoever believeth in me, said Jesus, shall never die. And that's all part of it. But come with me now to Mark 9, 38 to 50. Just a few verses. And it's quoting Isaiah 66, what fire brings: division, judgment, destruction, preservation, and persecution. Mark 9, 38 to 50. I'll try and get it quickly if I can. Mark 9, 38. And John answered and said to him, Master, we saw one casting out devils in your name, and he didn't follow us. And we forbade him because he followed not us. But Jesus said, forbid him not, for there is no man which shall do a miracle in my name that can lightly speak evil of me. For he that is not against us is on our part. Or whosoever shall give you a cup of water to drink in my name, because you belong to Christ, verily I say unto you, he shall not lose his reward. And that's the thing for Christians to understand. You cannot win, you cannot earn salvation, you cannot buy it. You cannot do anything, you cannot read the Bible, go to church, pray, worship, give, go into ministry. That does not give you salvation. Believing in the Lord Jesus Christ in your heart and believing that he was raised from the dead, and following him is what gives you salvation. What gives us rewards, what Jesus is talking about here, is after we've been saved, we need to be trying to get those brownie points, those rewards, to work towards doing good and doing all those things that we just mentioned: Bible reading, prayer, fasting, worshiping, going to church, praying, all those things. All right, he's just told them, he that is for us is not against us, and I say unto you, he shall not lose his reward. Now, and then he goes straight to children. Whosoever, verse 42 of chapter of Mark 9, whosoever shall offend one of these little ones that believe in me, it's better for him that a millstone were hanged around his neck and they were cast into the sea. Well, he's getting serious now. And if thy hand offend thee, cut it off. Wow. It's better for thee to enter into life maimed than to have two hands to go into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched. Uh-oh, there's the fire. Where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. And if thy foot offend thee, cut it off. Better for thee to enter halt into life than having two feet to be cast into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched. This is Jesus, the Son of God, the loving kind Savior, the Shepherd, the one whose children, whose sheep hear his voice, ones who follow him, ones who believe in him. He's telling them fairly serious stuff here. If your foot offends you, and you don't want to be cast into hell. And he mentions that he gives that same illustration two or three times. So it's serious. Hell is fire. Hellfire is hellfire. Into the fire that never shall be quenched. And we just read that our God is a consuming fire. Was it because it's figurative or literal? Or is it some kind of, let's keep reading. Where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. And if your eye offend you, pluck it out. It's better for you to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye than having two eyes to be cast into hellfire. Where their worm dieth not, nor the fire is not quenched. So he's mentioned it three times here. And so this is coming out of the mouth of the Lord Jesus Christ, Savior of the world, one who died for our sins, who knows what hell is like, who went there. And then he says, verse 49, everyone shall be salted with fire, or seasoned with fire, and every sacrifice shall be salted with salt. Salt is good, but if the salt have lost his saltness, wherewith will ye season it? Have salt in yourselves, and have peace one to another. Well, we didn't get too far about the fire, and then we heard that there's a hellfire waiting for us. Come with me now to Luke 12:49-53. I have come to send fire on the earth. Jesus said he has come to send fire on the earth. Let's go to it. Luke 49-53. Okay, I got 49. I am come to send fire on the earth. This is Jesus saying this. And he's just given us three illustrations of hell, of not wanting to go into hell. It'd be best to be maimed, but you know what he meant. You take that literally, and you won't even be able to walk into hell if you cut everything off. But he's telling us that if there is a sin that is hindering you from coming into heaven, cut it off, get rid of it, deal with it. Don't let it fester. Don't let it go on, because that will cause destruction to you. Any kind of rebelliousness against the word of God, and you're done as far as that's concerned. Without confession of sin, without humbleness, without seeking the Lord, and you lift your nose at him and don't believe his word. That's what he was saying is going to happen. And so he said it's that serious. He was saying it's that serious. If you find your eye looking at the wrong things, learn to turn it off. If you find your hands doing the wrong things, sinful things, stop doing them. If you find your feet running towards the wrong things, trying to destroy or violence or whatever, don't do it. Stop doing it. All right. Verse 49 of Luke 12. I am come to send fire on the earth. And what will I if it be already kindled? But I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how am I straitened till it be accomplished? Suppose ye that I am come to give peace on the earth? I tell you nay, but rather division. For from henceforth there shall be five in one house. And this is frightening, folks, but it's happening in our families today and in our churches. And it's been happening for a long time. Shall be five in one house, divided. So fire that the Lord Jesus comes brings, divides people. Fire brings sanctification, or it brings destruction, because God is holy. There shall be five in one house, divided, three against two, two against three. And the father shall be divided against the son, and the son against the father, and the mother against the daughter, the daughter against the mother, and the mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. Now, Jesus goes into these details and repeats stuff over and over and over again. It's like we can't handle it, but he's giving us the reason why he came to send fire on the earth. It's going to divide people, and it's going to encourage us to understand that those that we're living with that do not love the Lord Jesus and do not hear him, they're going towards a fire that's going to be kindled that will destroy them. Because anybody who turns and divides away from the Lord Jesus Christ's word and lives on their own and has nothing to do with godly things, they're in trouble. The father shall be divided against the son. And we read verse 54. Then he said also to the people, when you see a cloud rise out of the west, straightway there cometh a shower. And so it is. And he's going on to tell them about knowing the times that we live in. But I have come to send fire on the earth, and I wish that it were now kindled. Come with me now to 2 Thessalonians 1, 7 to 8. When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 9, let me read it. 2 Thessalonians 7 and 8. 2 Thessalonians 7 and, was that 7? 2 Thessalonians 1, 7 and 8. And verse 9 says, well, let me read it again. And you are troubled, rest with me when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. Beautiful, beautiful. So it's not figurative, folks. It's literal. This fire that the Lord Jesus has said that I've come to bring fire. And then what we read in Hebrews 29, that God is a consuming fire. Hebrews 1, 7, he makes angels, he says. He makes his angels ministers a flame of fire. But unto the Son, he says, well, that's in Hebrews 1, 7, 8 to 12. Okay, Let's just quickly look at that. I'm not able to see as clearly as I would like to. Hebrews 1, talking about angels being flames of fire. But we're looking for this aspect of our Father, our God, God our Father, because there are literally millions of hosts around him, and he is this flaming fire where only holiness can dwell and sanctified can dwell, and none of those people get burned because they're sanctified and because they're holy. And angels are flames of fire as well. Okay, let's look at Hebrews 1:7. Makes angels, he saith, maketh the angels spirits, and his ministers a flame of fire. But under the sun, he saith, and he's talking about the sun, and this is the Son of God, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of righteousness is the scepter of the kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated iniquity, and this is all around the throne in that fire. Therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. And thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They shall perish, but thou remainest. They shall all wax old as a garment, and as a vesture shalt thou fold them up, and they shall be changed. But thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail. God is the same as he was at the beginning. He is this, as there is this flaming fire about him. Not only is he a holy God, but he is a consuming fire. And this is now what John taught me. Our holy God is a consuming fire. Now think of birds. What kind of atmosphere do they need to live in? Well, they need air. Without air, birds die. They can't fly. So they have an atmosphere of air that they use to survive, yes or no? And it's their environment. And we're looking at the environment about this our God, who is a consuming fire. We're trying to gain a picture, an understanding of all the many different verses in Scripture that talks about this. Because he sent down fire from heaven that's been real fire onto altars. He lets us know that there is a figurative understanding of fire when there are flames of fire over people's head in Pentecost. No one had their hair burnt. It was flames that burnt, that didn't burn. It was Moses' bush that didn't burn. It was Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in a real fire that didn't burn. He's showing us, and he told us, when you walk through the fire, I won't burn you. There's certain classes of people that can go through the fire and live in the fire. So there's this atmosphere that a bird needs to survive. What about the fish? The fish in the sea need water. They can only survive in water. And the water doesn't destroy them. They use the water to stay alive. You take them out of the water and what happens? They die. But what about human beings? Well, God's environment is fire. You'll exist in that fire because innumerable hosts today currently live in that atmosphere. They're untouched, unless they've become rebels. Well, then the fire will touch them and destroy them. It's obvious. You and I, born again, who know God, who obey the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, are being prepared to have glorified bodies. God's environment is fire. The fire will not burn you. We must come to grips with a real fire that is coming. God's fire is real. It's been available. It's been there around his throne for thousands of years. And in Exodus 24:17, those who were around Mount Sinai actually saw it in their sight, in their eyes. God's fire is real. And they saw the glory of the Lord was like a devouring fire in the eyes of the children of Israel. And then you have the four men walking in the fire. One man was the Lord, and four others, the fire didn't touch it. Now I want to finish off with a couple of Old Testament pictures of this fire. Again, Ezekiel saw, and then Ezekiel and Daniel both saw it, visions of a glorious fiery being. They saw God's fire as part of their visions of glorious fiery being on a throne. He describes the figure as appearing to be glowing metal from the waist up, surrounded by radiant light, while from the waist down, it looked like a fire. This imagery, also seen in other accounts in the Bible, it combines pictures of God's glory, his judgment, and his holiness. So, okay, I'm going to read from Ezekiel chapter 8, 2, 3, and 4. And then we'll be closing. I hope you receive something from this. This is something entirely different from normal. But I didn't set the topic for my Sunday service. The Lord did, so I'm accepting it for what it is. Ezekiel chapter 8, verse 2, 3, and 4. This is what he saw. It was a vision that he saw of the Lord. And then I beheld, lo, a likeness as the appearance of fire. From the appearance of his loins, even downward, fire. And from his loins, even upward, as the appearance of brightness, as the color of amber. And he put forth the form of an hand and took me by a lock of mine head. Now, Ezekiel's hair didn't burn, my friend. And so that gives you a picture of, again, when you walk through the fire, you won't get burned. I know there are fiery trials and things like that, but this is something that I'm asking you to concentrate on and simply look at this wonderful, wonderful being, our God, our Father, our Heavenly Father, put forth the form of an hand, took me by a lock of mine head, and the Spirit lifted me up between the earth and the heaven, and he brought me in the visions of God to Jerusalem, to the door of the inner gate that looketh toward the north. Where was the seat of the image of jealousy which provokes to jealousy? And behold, the glory of God of Israel was there, according to the vision that I saw in the plain. So there he sees God as a burning fire. Now we're going to Daniel 7, 9 to 10. Daniel 7, 9 to 10. Bear with me now. And I beheld till the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head like pure wool. He's got hair that's in a flaming fire, folks. Explain that to me. Anything that's in God's presence that is holy, sanctified, it's covered and sprinkled by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's amazing. It's amazing. Let me keep reading. And the whitest, and whose garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head like pure wool. His throne was like the fiery flame, and his wheels as burning fire. A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. Now listen, how many people are there in that fiery stream? How many people are able to live in that fire. This is phenomenal. I just pray that God opens your eyes to see what he's prepared for you. A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. Thousands ministered unto him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The judgment was set, and the books were opened. Not one of those folks had burns on them. The atmosphere of God is holy. It scorches all sin. It singes none of his own. In Revelation 1:14-15, you have the same. And his hair was as white like wool. His eyes was flaming fire. His feet as burning furnace. Folk, hell is the lake of fire. Are your children planning on going there? Is it important that we do everything we can to try and bring them out of that? Isaiah 66:15-16 says, look to the Lord. The Lord will come with fire, for the fire will, with the fire will he plead with his people. That fire envelops the blood sprinkled born again and gives you a comfortableness, a comfortable warmth glow. That fire of God embraces the sanctified who follow Christ. They cannot burn these, but those who reject Christ and rebel at his word will burn and be feeling that heat forever. That's frightening. That's frightening. We'll close with 2 Peter 8:9. 2 Peter 8:9, then we'll have prayer. 2 Peter 8:9. I trust you've received something from this. I'm not trying to let you know something that I was just led to. Is it 2 Peter 3:9? Is it 3:9? The Lord is not slack concerning the promise, his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, the elements shall melt with fervent heat, the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burnt up. Verse 4. And saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. So there's nothing to fear of the fire if you are following Jesus and have been sprinkled by his blood and are his child. But if you think it's all figurative, not real, and not the actual throne room of God, well, then you have a problem. Father God, we thank you for your word. We bless you. We praise you. We thank you for the many ways in which you show, Lord, that we are to follow you. Thank you for those four men who go through the burning furnace, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and the Lord himself. And you show us, Lord, that you care for us, even in this life. But in the next, in the one to come, you have it all worked out. Because you are a consuming fire, and out of you emanates fire and light and burning, because you are holy. Because not only are you loving and kind, but you will not abide sin and rebelliousness and darkness. We cannot live in it. That's why Jesus came, to abolish death and destroy any kind of darkness. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you. for giving to us pictures of how you care for us and what you have prepared for us. Open our eyes and our hearts. But Lord, we cry out to you concerning the teaching that you gave concerning our children, Lord. How that you said you wanted to bring a fire upon the earth and that that fire would divide. Oh God, help us to understand that our families need the Lord Jesus Christ. We can come and pray to you and seek your face. We can testify and we can believe. We can cry out to you for all those who are away from you and that you will hear us. We thank you, Father. Thank you for all that you've given to us in the Lord Jesus Christ. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen. Thank Amen. You, John.
Amen, Pastor Fred. Wow. Wow, that was... It was a gourmet dinner on the word. Thank you. Thank you. That must have taken you quite a bit of time to put together, Pastor Fred.
Well, you helped me, obviously. You got me going with... No, you did very well. You did. Thanks so much.
I started the fire. I started the fire. I started the fire.
Without that illustration about birds and fish and the atmosphere, it would have been hard to try and get across, and I needed something like that, and you just made it very clear and plain. That was wonderful.
Okay. All right. Well, like I said, that was really, 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 really thorough. And we have, in God's presence, because our God is a consuming fire, in his presence, we have no concern, Pastor Fred, whatsoever.
None. Amen. Yes.
None.
But I'm telling you, if you preach this, this is very convicting for those who are away from the Lord.
Yes.
And it's a very good message today for the young people who are easily touched by the Holy Spirit in this era that we live in.
Okay. Well, how can we pray for you, Pastor Fred, now?
Yes, well, thank the Lord for what he's doing, continuing to do, and praising him for continuing healing in the family, all of us, children and myself. And then five people have started coming to church because of the Saturday thing now.
Wow.
It's the Lord. So praise God.
Pastor Fred, Bishop Reinhardt is here.
Wonderful.
And he's going to be staying with me, I forget what day is now. Is it Sunday? Anyways, he was asking for you.
Right. Yeah. He was wanting to come through here, but I wasn't in any kind of shape to be able to accept to get him.
Yeah.
And I can't drive out that far. I can't drive
to Texas anymore. You going to drive to Texas?
No. Okay. No, he was going to come to the city for some reason.
Oh, and you were going to meet him in New York City. Yeah.
He wanted me, yeah.
Yeah.
But it wasn't.
The reason I mentioned him was they just printed 50,000 brochures in Sri Lanka, and the churches there are going door to door and handing everyone the Broken Hearted brochure and talking to them about salvation in Christ. He said that Sri Lanka is, quote, on fire for the Lord, and the hot heart of it is healing the brokenhearted. Isn't that amazing, Pastor Fred? And
it
then
is. It's wonderful.
And then he ended it by saying, we need 100,000 more brochures.
Yeah.
He said, God. It's incredible the way the Buddhists are repenting and coming to Christ. Amazing, he said.
It's their time.
Yes.
The Lord's doing a quick work, isn't he?
He certainly is. And one of the things that's like amazing to me is all right, you know, I didn't know of the church in Pakistan until Pastor Jamil and all, but I realized that there were believers there. And the same with India. I knew that there had been, there was believers, but until I met Pastor David and Bishop Reinhardt, I didn't know the depth of it, let's say. I never dreamed for a second about Sri Lanka. I had no, all I know is they had violent political parties and they were getting assassinated.
Torn them apart last year or so.
Yeah. That woman handed like the prime minister of Sri Lanka flowers, remember? And there was a bomb in the flowers and killed him. That's what I remembered. So I still am completely astonished at the depth of the Lord's work. And I told Pastor Bishop Reinhardt, I said, all this is being done under the radar in Sri Lanka, isn't it? And he said, yes, it's very quiet under the radar. But it's incredible how many Buddhists are coming to the Lord. Incredible.
Hallelujah.
In Sri Lanka.
Well, we keep praying for them. Thank you.
So I wanted to give you that message so that you could encourage the people in your church.
We will do. We'll do. Thank you so much.
And maybe when he comes, I'll call you and have you been talking to him recently?
Well, he called me from somewhere and wanting to come, wanting to meet, but there was impossibility for me at that time.
Oh, okay.
And still.
All right. So you did speak to him recently.
Yeah.
All right. All right. So let's pray. Father,
thanks.
We thank you for Pastor Fred's message about the fire, Lord. And that's why in eternity there is a hell or a lake of fire, because that's your atmosphere. It's like if it was water, you know, if your atmosphere was water, then if you're not equipped to live in the water, you drown and die. And that's the way it is with you in heaven. Every area, every area will be have a like fire element to it, like a bird in the air. You can't necessarily see the air, but there it is. And that, I believe, is the way it's going to be in heaven. And the people that do not have glorified bodies, the people that their body is not being renewed every instant by the Holy Spirit, and alive by the Holy Spirit, that fire burns just like it would burn, you know, here. And they're subject to that because of they don't have a glorified body. They died in their sin. So that's why there is the lake of fire, Lord. Amazing. And you don't desire anyone to go to the lake of fire. So, Lord, help us in the ministry here that we have, and it reaches into Pakistan and India and Sri Lanka and East Africa, Malawi, Lord, Nigeria. Lord, help us in the time we have left, and Pastor Fred and his church, Lord. We don't want to forget Pastor Fred, to reach as many people as possible and win the lost, Lord. So thank you, Lord. Thank you. And now bless Pastor Fred's family, Lord. We're praying for his grandchildren, your blessing on them. And they're going to, the oldest one is going to public school, right, Pastor Fred?
Yeah.
Protect her in that atmosphere, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
That'll no way... any of their lives would have any impact on her at all. So, and bless Katie, Lord. We're praying for her recovery, Lord. She seemed, Fred, as she like turned a corner on this, health-wise?
The numbers are good, except for the tumor. That's all. All the numbers are very good.
Yeah. Yeah. Is she, like, feeling better?
Well, she keeps getting the chemo. Well, she's getting they're giving her more doses than they promised.
Oh, all right. So that's going to make her sick.
Two more to go.
Yeah. All right. So, Lord, we're praying for Katie, Lord, and I think she's turned a corner on this, Lord.
Amen.
And that you're working a miracle in her life. Thank you, Lord. So we want to see her completely healed in Jesus' name. Thank you. And then, Lord, we pray for Pastor Fred. We're praying for his strength, Lord. We're praying for that he will have strong. He'll be strong in you, Lord. He had some little problem with his pulse. We're praying that his pulse, in Jesus' name, comes down to be normal, Lord. That his heart would beat normally, Lord, as you have created it. Thank you, Lord. Thank you now. So his pulse will perform just like you have created it in him, his heart in him, Lord. Thank you now. And then, Lord, we don't want to forget Nate. We're praying for him, Lord, with that his liver. And we're praying for the healing of his liver. Well, tumors will die in Jesus' name. We speak life to him, Lord. We speak life, life, life to him. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Pastor Fred, are you still in touch with Darlene's brothers by any chance? That they just came into my mind.
Yes, they one's still in the rehab. Brian is, and Randy's still in the state.
Okay.
State run homes. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And do you have any contact with Brian? I mean, is he? Because he always claimed to know the Lord, but he had that twist.
I know.
No.
He has this strange, and he loves people, and he loves to help people, but. I don't know if he's really heart is right with the Lord. It's more right with the world than it is with the Lord. But
yeah.
We keep praying.
All right, Lord, we bring
Randy
Brian
too.
Excuse me. Yeah, go ahead.
I keep praying for Randy too. I'll go see him soon. I go every 2 or 3 months, or at least 2 or 3 weeks to go see him.
Oh, that's nice.
So pray with him. Yeah,
that's nice. Father, we bring Brian before. Now, didn't Brian have cancer?
Yeah. Colon cancer, yeah. Right. Or what was it? No, it was. Anyhow, he still has it. But he's living with it. He hasn't died with it. It gives you complications of things, but that's it. Can't look after himself completely, but that's why he's in rehab.
Okay. So, Lord, we bring Brian before you. And, you know, we think of him as Darlene's brother. And, mm-hmm. Lord, I've met him many times through the years. And he claimed Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. And there was always this twist, Lord. There was just something. But, you know, he made that confession, Lord. So we're praying that it's real and that he'll be in eternity with you, Lord. Thank you for Pastor Fred going to visit him, Lord. And so we pray that he would have a real powerful, positive testimony for you, Lord. And then with Randy, Lord, it's sad, Lord. Randy's a very sad case. Thank you that Pastor Fred goes to visit him every 2 to 3 weeks, Lord. And Pastor Fred, does Randy give a confession of Jesus as his Lord and Savior?
He did when he was 8, remembers the time he was in camp that he did it. And yet his mind is, his trust is not in the Lord right now, but claims that he did ask the Lord Jesus into his heart then, but he hasn't walked with him. He reads his Bible now and again, occasionally. So if he can get to it, it'd be good. I pray with him every time.
Okay. All right. So, Lord, we're praying that there would be a real breakthrough with Randy, Lord, and Pastor Fred, and that Pastor Fred would have absolute assurance of Randy's eternal life with you, Lord. And we praise you and thank you now in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Pastor Amen. Fred, when will you be seeing Brian?
I'll try and see him within the next week. Why?
Would you tell him that we had prayer for him, you know, here, that we prayed for him?
Yes, I will.
Same when you go to tell Randy?
Yep.
Me and you and the group here, we prayed for him, both of them, you know.
Yes. I will. I'll make a point of it, John. Thank you so much.
Okay. All right. God bless you. And
thank you.
If I get a chance, I want to give you a call tomorrow.
All righty. Well, whenever you're a busy man, I realize that. And you always do whenever you think of it anyway. I appreciate it.
Okay. All right. God bless you. Now. Bye now. Bye. Okay. Let's continue with, I guess Sister Kathy. There you are. Sister Kathy, anything comes to mind or you want to share about Pastor Fred's teaching about the fire?
No, nothing. I'll give my pass to somebody else and maybe they'll have something great to share.
All right. Sister Sharon? Yes, Sister Sharon? Okay.
Okay, I'm sorry. I had me muted too.
Muted? That's strange.
That's strange. Mute. I know, I'm sorry.
All right, go ahead.
When he was doing all the teaching and all the verses on fire and stuff, I just kept thinking of the fourth man in the fire.
Yes.
And different things like that, and with Sodom and Gomorrah, the fire, the big fire and everything. And when she turned around and looked back, and she saw the fire and turned to salt, and just different things like that came to mind. And how we have to respect what Jesus commands us in with the fire, and that is not to look at it, you know, not to be near it, and only as he deems necessary and stuff. So I really enjoyed listening to, all those verses that had fire in it. That's a lot of verses.
Yes. Yeah, our God is a consuming fire.
Yes, amen. Our God is a consuming fire.
Yeah.
It's for sure. And okay. I just thank him for doing this teaching tonight on the word fire and everything. And it was good. It was very, very good.
Amen. Amen. Okay.
Do you want me to pray?
Oh, yeah, sure. If you would like to, absolutely.
Okay. So, dear Father God, I just want to say thank you for tonight, for the Monday night teaching of Pastor Fred about fire and stuff. And we just need to keep in mind what you meant about fire and what you still mean about fire, dear Father God. And we just need to pray for each other. We need to pray with each other. And we just need to pray about that fire coming down, because we know that someday soon it will. And we will be going up to be with you in heaven. And I know that is what we are all so patiently impatient waiting for. And I just, myself, I feel the same way. I just can't wait to be with you, to be in heaven with you and with my friends, my family, and everybody who has given their life over to you, dear Father God. And I just thank you for that. And I just pray for everybody's health as here in the group. And I just want to pray for everybody's strength too. And dear Father, there is somebody that Pastor Zephaniah posted up today, a picture of a young pastor or somebody who passed away, and I don't know his name or anything, but it's something that we just need to pray for the family of this deceased person. So, dear Father God, I'm sorry I don't know his name. I truly am. But we just need to pray for him, family, and his friends, and everybody that knew him, and pray for whatever it was he was doing that he was able to accomplish that mission. So, dear Father God, I just want to thank you for being able to pray a little bit about him. And I want to thank you for everybody who's here tonight. And I just pray that everybody was able to take something away from Pastor Fred's teaching on the word fire. It's very, very interesting to hear. And we do know that it's in the archives, or it will be a little later, and we can re-listen to it again and again and again. And I thank you for that too, dear Father God, that with technology today, we are able to do that. And I just want to say thank you to Pastor or Chaplain John for all of his teachings and preachings that he's got coming up that he'll be preparing for. For all Wednesdays, Wednesday is movie night at My Shalom. So Pastor or Chaplain John will be with us on Wednesday night, I'm going to assume. But I just want to say thank you, dear Father God, for anything that we're doing. With teaching, and preaching, and hearing your word, it's always worth wherever we're at. And in your name, I do pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Sister Sharon. Now, I want to go, and we have Joy with us. Yes, hello, Sister Joy.
Yes.
Any comments on Pastor Fred's teaching?
Yeah, I love tonight's teaching, and this Friday night, there's an opportunity to share gospel with the kids, so I'm just have a heart to share.
Okay, well, what I wanted to do is have prayer for you. We want to pray for you at least once a week in this ministry for you, because on a regular basis, folks, Joy is winning souls. She's developing into a great one-on-one evangelist, and I feel that she would be very good to pray for her and send her out from this group as an evangelist with prayer support. So let me pray, and then we'll get someone else to pray also. Father, we bring Sister Joy before you, and thank you, Lord, for the nice anointing on her, Lord. Thank you, Lord, where she has a hunger to win souls, Lord, and you put people across her path that are primed and ready to receive Christ. So we thank you for that, Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you. So we're asking, Lord, weekly she's going to grow in power, Lord. The Bible says to speak the truth in love. So I ask that as she increases in power, she's increasing in your love, a great love for you as our Abba Father, and that every week, Lord, she's going to grow in power and power and power. I think she mentioned that there were some people with her. Is that true? Some people have been with you, Joy?
Yeah. Sometimes I'm alone, sometimes with the people. Yeah.
Okay. So I ask, Lord, that when she has people with her, that they will grow because they're coming in contact with the anointing you have on her, Lord. So that all the people that are involved will all grow in great power, Lord, and that there's going to be a lot of people one to you through her ministry, and it's like a one-on-one ministry, Lord. So thank you and praise you now in Jesus' name. Amen and amen and amen.
Amen. Thank you.
Amen. Okay, Paula Jean. Hello, Paula Jean.
Yes, good evening.
Yeah, Paula Jean, would you please pray for Joy and this nice one-on-one evangelist that she is?
Sure.
Yeah, this Friday from 6 to 9, yeah, we will share gospel.
Okay.
Yeah, thank you.
So, Heavenly Father, we lift Joy up to you and we give you praise and thanksgiving. We give you praise and thanksgiving that you have this call on her life and that she's answered it. And now as she answers it, you're giving her those divine appointments with the people who are ready to receive their hunger and thirst to be quenched. As she helps them through Bible study and other means of one-on-one connection. Father God, I pray that every day and every night, she's at the fueling station, being filled to overflowing with the power of your love. And with your love comes wisdom. They're not separate. Your love, Father God, carries with it all the wisdom she needs for each individual that you have created uniquely. And those are things that we can't do anything about. We can only receive them from you if it's your desire for us to work under the power of your will. And Father God, this is what I understand you've given Joy. And I'm just thanking you that you are equipping her every day and every night and in her walk and in her sleep to be available to the infilling of all that she needs. I'm praying for it as love and wisdom. With that also comes a peace, the peace that allows her to hear clearly, Father God. And then there is the life that we need every day and every night. And I pray that you continue giving her that breath of life that is pure, unadulterated from you, that renews and refreshes so that each new day starts with a joy unspeakable in her heart, simply to be alive and with you and walking with you and pleasing you as you guide. I pray that you sustain that joy that you want us to walk in, and that she walks in it, and that it flows out through her to the others that she ministers to. So I'm in agreement with what Chaplain John has prayed, and I pray, Father God, that anything else that you want to bring to Joy as a blessing, anything that you want to show her your love and approval of what she's doing, that I'm asking that you do that, that you provide those blessings, because you know what we need in our walk so much better than we do. We don't even know what to ask for, but you know what's going to be up ahead. And so I pray that each day that you send her out, she's equipped for that day.
Yes,
and those people to do your work. In Jesus' name, and bring you the glory and celebrate with you when she sees the results. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Paula Jean. All right. Now you got prayer backing there, and I'm happy, Sister Joy.
Yes. Thank you.
Okay. Now we have Sister Rita. Hello, Sister Rita.
Hello, Chaplain John. What are we doing now?
Any comments about the Pastor Fred's teaching, and then you can lead us in prayer.
Oh, okay. Well, I was really blessed with Pastor Fred's teaching tonight, like I am almost every week, and I'm just grateful to God that he comes in and teaches us from his heart. So I give thanks to my Lord, my God, for Pastor Fred. And so I'll go ahead and pray now.
Okay.
Father, I thank you for today. I thank you for everything that you have given to me. And I thank you, Father, that you have blessed me and that you have placed people into my life that has been, that has helped me abundantly, and that you have blessed me with these people, Father. And Father, I thank you for dying for my sins, and I thank you for loving me, Father, when I, especially when I was not worthy to be loved, Father. I give you thanks for this, Father. Father, I pray that you would forgive, heal, and have mercy on America. We do not deserve your forgiveness or your healing or your mercy, Father. But you are merciful to us. You are a merciful God. And I also pray for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in our cities, across our countries, are in our college campuses, across our country, Father. And I pray, Father, that that you would help our cities, that you would stop the riots that are going on in our cities across our country, and that you will, and that ICE will be able to, ICE and the police and the National Guard and the Marines would be able to hold back this this rebellion that is happening in our cities, Father. Father, and I pray that you'll stop these whoever is financing them, Father. Stop them. And Father, I pray, Father, that you would stop the spreading of Islam.
Amen.
That is marching across America. I pray for all the Muslims that live in America that they will repent and come to the saving knowledge of your Son. And Father, I pray that you would give a burning desire in the hearts of Christians across America to witness, Father, to these Muslims. And I pray that you will move these the hearts of the Muslims, Father, that you give them ears to hear and eyes to see what the wages of death is, Father. And I pray, Father, for the people that are involved in abortions, in pornography, in transgenderism, and homosexualism, Father. I pray for the people that are trapped in these sinful lifestyles, that these that you will convict their hearts, and they will come to the saving knowledge of your Son, Father. And I ask that you would heal these people's hearts, Father. I think there's a lot of broken hearts that is involved in these wicked lifestyles, Father. And Father, I hold up Israel to you, Father. I pray that you would put a hedge of protection around her and give her peace, and that the Jews that live in Israel would repent from their wicked lifestyles and come to the saving knowledge of your Son, Father. And I pray for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit in Israel, Father. And Father, I pray for Prime Minister Netanyahu, that you would protect him, encourage him, and comfort him, guide and direct Netanyahu in all of his decisions that he makes for Israel. And I ask for the saving knowledge of your son in the lives of Netanyahu and his wife. Bless their marriage and bless their children, Father. And I pray for the IDF that they will come to the, each and every IDF soldier will come to the saving knowledge of your son, Father. And I pray for Mike Huckabee, the ambassador, that he will be a blessing to Israel. And I pray that you'll keep Mike Huckabee, Father, close to you and your son. Protect him and guide and direct him in all that he has to do with Israel. And Father, I pray for President Trump. I ask that you would keep him safe, encourage and comfort him, Father, and put a hedge of protection around him. I pray, Father, that you open up President Trump's eyes, that he may see where his strength comes from, and that he will love you and your son, Father, more with each passing day. Bless his marriage, and I ask for the salvation of Melania, that she would come to the saving knowledge of your son, Father. Open her eyes to how wicked the Catholic Church is. And I pray this, Father, also for J.D. Vance and his wife, Usha, that they would see the truth about the Catholic Church, and that they would come to the saving knowledge of your son. And just show them, Father, how wicked the Catholic Church is. And Father, I hold up Chaplain John to you. Encourage, comfort, and strengthen Chaplain John. Guide and direct him in all his preparation for his teachings and the new brochures that he is working on. Bless and anoint all of his brochures, Father, that many will come to the saving knowledge of your son and many hearts would be healed. And Father, I pray for the Abba Father Fellowship pastors. I pray that you encourage them, strengthen, guide and direct them, Father, and bless the churches. And also, Father, I pray that you would put a hedge of protection around these churches, because they are located in areas, Father, that hates you and hates your son, Father. And Father, I ask that you will also provide food, clothing, shelter, and water to these poor churches. And I also pray for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit in these churches, Father. And Father, I also pray for Pastor Fred, that you would strengthen him physically and spiritually, comfort his heart about his children, Kate and Nate, because he has to be worried about his children, Father, being sick. I just pray that you will encourage his heart about that. And I pray for Kate and Nate, that you would heal their bodies, strengthen them, comfort them, Father, and encourage them, Father. Wrap your arms around them. And Father, I pray for everyone that is online tonight. I pray, Father, that you wrap your arms around every single person that is online, that you would strengthen us and comfort us and heal us, Father. For I pray this all in the holy and glorious name and my Lord, my Savior, my God, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you very much. Wonderful, wonderful prayer. Thank you. And then we have Gigi and Randy here.
Yes, good evening. And Rita, thank you so much. You covered so many things. I really appreciate that prayer. That was wonderful.
Oh, yes. Well, absolutely wonderful prayer.
Absolutely
yes.
Wonderful. I just wanted to make one comment because I had been looking at this scripture recently, which is 1 Corinthians 3, I think it's verse 10.
Well, that's going through the fire.
Yeah. And that it's going to burn up wood, straw, and hay. And then the things that are good. So it's not punishment. It's either rewards or lack of rewards. So it's going to, at the Bema seat, he's going to make a judgment of works. For Christ.
Yes.
But it's fire. That's also fire, which is kind of interesting. So that one, yeah, that was an excellent teaching on the fire. That is really good. And so considering the wonderful prayer that Rita just did, I'm just wondering what you think I should be praying for.
This Sunday, I won't be teaching Wednesday at Word of Life, but I'll be teaching Sunday at another church.
Oh,
so,
okay.
So I'd appreciate it if you'd give me a prayer for that.
Okay. And what about the brochures that you're working on?
Oh, yeah. All right. It's the same old story. Yeah, just keep praying for it. It's locked up in my mind right now. And unfortunately, well, I got to go by the Lord on timing on it. I can't get it out until it's right there. It's right there. And if I could just cross that line and get it. So if you would do that, I'd appreciate it.
Okay. And I just need to ask Paula Jean. I actually was praying with her earlier. I wanted to know how she was feeling. She wasn't feeling too well.
Oh.
If she could let us know so I can pray for her again.
Yes, Paula Jean.
I'm fine. I have gotten the backup I need for if anything happens in the middle of the night or whatever, that I have people who step forward to get me where I need to go if that happens. But I'm very confident that I've been given good information and that it's all related to the shot, pneumonia shot, folks. I warn you. Look to the Lord before you answer your doctor's oh, so important to get you this thing. Look to the Lord before you answer. I did not. I just asked her the questions that mattered to me. She answered them, and I didn't take the time to then look to the Lord, and I'm experiencing the consequences.
Paula Jean, I want to answer you on this, and I want everybody to listen. There is a direct correlation between vitamin D3 level in your blood serum and your lungs. Direct correlation.
So
there's been all sorts of studies on this about with COVID. The people that had the highest, and that's the number is 70, but those that had the number 70 and above, they could get COVID and have a sniffle, and they would get an advanced case of it. And the amount of vitamin D3 in your system depended upon how severe the COVID was. And when it got down real low, really low, and especially if the person had another, like diabetes or something, it was almost 100% fatal. So the vitamin D3 level was critical, but especially for the lungs. for the loans.
I agree, and I have listened to you in the past, and I am on a regular everyday vitamin D3 supplement, and I alternate between 1,000 and 2,000. So is that enough?
No.
Really?
Yeah, really.
Then what's the right amount?
Let me talk to you more privately about that. I want to think about it. You're at your age. I want to ask you some, you know, personal health questions.
And that's fine. Yeah. I just.
But all that propaganda, all that propaganda they give you. Please, folks, let me get on my my soapbox now. No, I don't want to run. I don't want to run anybody off. But they are the Babylonians, and there is the thing that's the number one foundation that do naturally for our health is vitamin D3. We don't normally get enough sunlight to get a very high level. We got to supplement. The doctors refuse. Like Fauci and with COVID-19, I would be screaming at the TV or the video, whatever it is that watching, saying you're a Babylonian. The number one thing why everybody should have a blood test and their vitamin D3 level will be there's study after study after study. It's not even debatable, and yet these Babylonian doctors will not do those blood tests to make sure every one of their patients has a high vitamin D3 level. So, I remember once I was stopped in Costco. They were giving out, I think, free, if I'm not mistaken. You know, you get those shots there for the flu shot. And a nurse there like stopped me and said, "Do you want?" I don't remember if it was free or not. Maybe it was. "Do you want a free flu shot?" I said, "No." I said, "My flu shot is a lot of vitamin D3. I don't need that." And she just looked at me. I remember her eyes got. I was very polite. I mean, I was polite. I wasn't arrogant. I said, "No. Thank you very much. But my protection against flu, my flu shot is high vitamin D3 level." And she, her eyes got big and she said, oh, okay. You know, so I'm containing myself, Sister Paula Jean, because it's so simple. Vitamin D3 is not an expensive supplement at all. And it's so important. God's made it simple. Vitamin D3, you can naturally get it in the sun.
Right. Okay. And what I looked at, because I pulled my bottle out, and 2,000 sounded like a lot, but it's international units. It's not your grams or your micrograms.
Right.
So that's why I can understand why you would say it's not enough.
No.
Because it's only 50 micrograms, but they make it sound like a lot, 2,000 international units.
You'll hear these Babylonian doctors say, you can overdose on vitamin. You have to take so much vitamin D3 for such a long time, and then it would give you headaches and this and that. And the moment you stop taking it, your level will come way down. I mean, you have to get an astronomical level of vitamin D3 to overdose on it. It's all, and they do the same thing with vitamin E. The same thing with vitamin E. They're working for corporations, and they don't make money on vitamin D3 supplements, which are, you know, good vitamin D3 supplements you can get for $20. And vitamin E is more expensive now. I'm kind of shocked at the price of vitamin E, but it's still, it's way cheaper than their drugs, and it's so much better. Why take drugs when if you have the preventative with vitamin D3 and vitamin E?
Do you have a little niche in your blog where we can go for those suggestions?
Yeah, and I haven't looked at it in years. Let me see if I can dig it up. I don't even know if it's still there. Yeah, I put that in there years and years and years ago. Let me give you an example, and then we'll get to prayer, okay?
Okay.
Sure. Going back, the reason I was so interested in natural means is when I was about 15, 16, the doctor misdiagnosed my stepfather and literally killed him. And then the following year, they misdiagnosed my grandfather. And by the time they found out what it was too late, and he died shortly after. So from the time I was 17, 18, I was on my own. I didn't want any part of doctors. I didn't trust them. I saw what they did. So back in the 1960s, when I first started, I remember this. There were two types of vitamin E. There was natural, and then there's one that had a DL on the label, and DL meant it was synthetic. And so in the 1960s, I remember hearing from the health people, you know, I got on some writing, mailing lists and things like that, that vitamin, the synthetic, don't take it. It's no good. It's worthless. So I knew that from the very beginning about synthetic vitamin E. It had to be natural vitamin E. So I'm going to say it was probably 30 years ago. There was a big study out that was going to be the end all for vitamin E. And they did this study and they found out that vitamin E was detrimental. The more you use the vitamin E, the more detrimental it became. In fact, it was like dangerous. So they were only recommending this tiny little bit of vitamin E for everybody. So I got a hold of that study and I knew it. I knew it. I got a hold of the study and I looked at it. And what did they use? Synthetic vitamin E. Synthetic. Synthetic. Those liars. Liars. Yep. Synthetic. That we knew in the 1960s, it was not good for you. So they did this final study, the end all study. And what did they use? Synthetic vitamin E.
Yeah.
So I remember talking to a good friend of mine. We were at a restaurant, and he had to have his blood thinned. So I said, Ed, I said, please, I talked to him a little about how much of vitamin E to take. And he says, okay, I'm going to talk to my doctor. And I said, Ed, that's not going to go over good. So what does he do? He talks to his doctor, and the doctor quotes this study I just told you about. And so Ed told me, and he said there was a big study that just came out, and it proved that vitamin E was in large amounts is detrimental. I said, Ed, that study just came out, and it was synthetic vitamin E. I was telling you about natural vitamin E. He wouldn't take it because his doctor told him. So he ended up taking Coumadin or something that it's bad for your kidneys, and it's stuff that they use in rat poison to kill rats. That's what they use for blood thinners, Coumadin. When regulated, vitamin E has no side effects, and you could thin your blood out with some other things, primarily vitamin E. All right. That's why, Paula Jean, and everybody that's listening, you got to take care of yourself. You cannot trust a lot of those doctors are just corporation doctors, most of them. And the corporations don't make money off of natural vitamin E and natural vitamin D3. They don't. And you are a money-making machine to them.
Yeah. She asked me about a flu shot. I said, no, I'm trusting my immune system. Thank you very much.
Yes.
At least that one, right?
Yeah. All right. So I really get worked up over this, folks. I really do, because people trust their doctors, and that's really good if they're real doctors. You know, the doctors have, they can put fear in us. You know, look how high your cholesterol rate is. Now you're going to have to take this and this and this. And oh, my goodness. Anyways. All right. So who are we up to in praying? Gigi.
Could I just say something about Pastor Fred? Because I just did the prayer.
Yes.
The prayer. Sure. Joy. Yeah. I was blessed, if I heard correctly, did Pastor Fred give a few testimonies about his experience around fire?
Yeah, about growing up, about the fire that blew up some building he worked in, and the whole place burnt down except for he worked where his office, and something else blew up and came down and sprayed.
And witnesses said that they saw the fire around him, but he didn't get burnt. He didn't
right.
even know the fire.
Right. Yeah. He wasn't singed.
What I want to make a comment of is, Heavenly Father, I want to thank you that every time I listen to Pastor Fred teach, I have been touched that there's something special about how he walks with you. And he mentioned it tonight when he was giving those testimonies. And it has to do with the level of holiness you have helped him to achieve, because none of that comes without you. And Father God, there's always been something that I always pray afterwards. Whatever it is, Father, more of that for me too, please. Because it's not something we can do in ourselves. Only God can work it in us. And I just had always sensed something, some more, of more like Jesus, you know, to be worked in me. And he would always remind me of it, not intentionally, but just as I listened to him. So I just wanted to share that.
Okay. Amen. Amen.
Yeah. Because it's wonderful when God gives us an eye to see something special and to aspire and to lift it to him. And so I couldn't do that if I didn't get to listen to him every Monday night.
Okay. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. I think we're up to Gigi. I got sidetracked there in my...
Yes. Well, I'm glad that she's feeling okay, so I'm going to continue.
Oh, yeah. Thank you for asking, Gigi. I think just getting care, taking care of the details of the what if, and then feeling
better. Okay. Yeah. I'm sorry. Randy was trying to ask me to ask you that he was interested in Richard and what the outcome was
about
him getting the drugs he needed and or didn't need them, or what happened.
Oh, Rich. Yeah, it still needs to be acquired, but the problem is that he has been suffering from lack of strength, and so because of that lack of strength, they have not been ready to take the advanced blood tests that they want to take before proceeding with the infusions. And so he's still in process. He needs to have his strength to be returned to him. We're not too sure what that's all about. I'm still praying that the wife will, and my brother will, concede to allowing someone to come to the home to check on his nutritional well-being. And we have not had a breakthrough there yet. So they are not getting medically evaluated concerning that.
What about the drug coverage cost?
Yeah, but we'll talk to her about that later. I just want to pray for him. I want to go ahead and pray for him. Yeah. He's been really struggling, so let me do that. And first of all, we just are asking you, Lord, that there would be no side effects or ill effects from this pneumonia shot on Paula Jean. Please protect her, Lord. And we also lift up her brother, that that there would be a provision made so that people will go and make an assessment for his nutritional support and just to figure out if there's anything that they can do that would be of benefit to him. And we know that there's issues because of the shutdown. And so we're asking you, Lord, to make a provision there for him and that you would bless him and protect him. We thank you he's saved. And so we just pray that in the mighty name of Jesus. And we pray he would be healed and wouldn't need any further treatment.
Yeah.
In the name of Jesus. Amen.
Thank you very much, Gigi.
Okay, apologies.
I just got an answer from him today. You know, it's like about every other week or, you know, something like that, I get an update and I tell him how much it means to me. And it always guides me in my prayer. And so at least the communication is on a fairly steady basis. You know, so. And I'm grateful that he is still at peace about the approach they're taking. So.
Okay, good.
All right.
Okay, I want to go ahead and pray. All right. And
yes,
so
please.
We just lift up John to you. We are grateful for his teaching and his persistence and also all the good information that he gives us. And we are thrilled about Bishop Reinhardt being in the United States. And we pray that this would be a wonderful trip for him and he would gain support, both prayer and monetarily, for what his needs are. India is a big place. They need a lot. And so we just pray a blessing over him and protection as he's traveling around. And we lift up John to you. He's teaching at another church on Sunday. So we pray that you would go before him and that you would prepare the people to hear the word of God. And we are also praying over the teaching that he's doing and that you would continue to bring the Holy Spirit's inspiration on him to teach what he needs to be teaching in a timely way, and also that you would help him to be able to arrange everything so it wouldn't be a burden, but he could do it and it would be easy for him. And so we just continue to pray the anointing on him.
Thank you.
And Lord, we want to lift up the rest of Abba Father's fellowship and pray over each and every one of them. And we pray over this incident of a young pastor dying. That is somebody that Pastor Zephaniah knows. I don't know where he is, but we just pray for encouragement over his family and his church, wherever he is. And we pray protection on Pastor Zephaniah and Gladys, and we pray that her cancer treatment would be quick and she would be completely healed in the name of Jesus. And we want to continue to pray for Pastor Abel in Nigeria, the slaughter that's taking place with the Christians in Africa is just unbelievable. And so we want to continue to pray for protection for the Christians there and specifically for Pastor Abel and his church and the people, the Christians in that area, because we know they were attacked before. And we continue to pray for that outpouring in Sri Lanka, and that has traditionally been a very hard place to reach for the gospel to reach there. So we are thrilled, Lord. We're so happy, and we're asking that would really spread far and wide, and there would be just a massive outpouring that would change the country there. and we pray for every place else, but the pamphlets have been going. We pray for the funds and the availability of the pamphlets to each and every pastor that needs them. And we just pray safety and protection and continued outpouring over all the places that Abba Father's Fellowship has outreached into. And I want to pray for each and every one of us that you would lead us and guide us and give us good rest, and that we would, that the dollars that we spend would be stretched, that we would get sales, and that you'd just watch over us, Lord. We all have vehicles and places we live and food that we need to eat and various and sundry things. So please help us, Lord, to be good stewards, and that you would bless us in that regard. And we just pray for health. I want to pray for health and healing over each and every one of us here, and that and protection, Lord. We do pray for protection over each one of us in our comings and our goings and in our homes. And I also want to pray, I don't like the Day of the Dead that's coming up on Friday. And so I just pray that Christians would be convicted not to participate in that. That's a very, very evil day. And so I just pray that they would stay away from it. It's very evil. And I pray, especially for us, this is a big event here. It's an ethnic holiday here. And so I just want to pray for protection over our area here, that you'd watch over us, Lord. And I also just want to pray, there's so many things going on either overseas or near us in Canada, south of the border, all these different places, Lord. And we need people in our government that will be honest and not corrupt. And we're praying for the people that are standing up for Israel here in our government, and the ministries who are doing that, and that you would protect them, Lord. And please protect the population here that are Jewish, and that we're praying for an outpouring on them too, not just in Israel, but we're praying for the outpouring to happen here and everywhere that they are living outside of Israel. And I also just want to lift up to you to give our president wisdom and strength and knowledge, and that sometimes he does things that are difficult to understand. And we're just praying, Lord, that you would give him wisdom, and that you would protect everyone around him and give them wisdom. And we pray over our government that it seems like the violence is getting more violent, and the rebellion is getting worse, Lord, but we know that that has to come before you come. And so we're just praying for protection for especially children in our country. There's very odd things going on, and so we're just praying that you would be merciful to all of these things that they're coming at. I don't know how to explain this. There have been incursions into all of the evil workings of people, foreigners especially, in our country, who are doing the most incredibly evil things. They are trafficking children and people and drugs and even invading small towns, Lord. So we are praying that the law enforcement, all these different agencies that work with them, that you would give them great wisdom and insight, and they would receive great tip-offs, and that would really make a dent. It seems like it's endless, but we're just praying that that would make a dent in all this evil things that are going on around in our country. And so we just want to thank you and praise you, Lord, that we have a blessed hope, that we know who you are, that you have called us out of darkness into your marvelous light, and that you have a purpose for us, not just to be saved, but to obey you in all things, Lord. And we praise you for that. And I pray over Joy that the people that respond to the gospel would be able to be helped into a church where they will be discipled. So it isn't just salvation, but it would be that they would follow you and obey you and be baptized and repent. And so I pray that in the mighty name of Jesus. And we continue to lift up Pastor Fred, that you would strengthen him and encourage him and heal him, Lord, and provide for him. We thank you for these people that were witness to on the street, but now they're going to his church. And that's wonderful because they will be discipled. So we just pray over he and his family. And we're just grateful, Lord. We're so grateful. We're so grateful that we have your word, which is eternal and powerful and is a witness totally of who you are, of your character, of your ways, of your plan throughout history. And we thank you that it is a living word and an eternal word because you are living and you are eternal. And I pray that in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Okay, I think we've covered everything. Sister Kathy, I think, well, I know she's left, but thank you for the prayer. Father, thank you for tonight. Thank you for Pastor Fred, Lord. Thank you for all the blessings. We praise you and thank you for everything, Lord, everything. Now, Lord, one thing we want to bring before you at closing is this government situation with the Democrats that want to close, which they have closed the government, Lord, and this could wreak havoc on the government, on the economy, Lord. It could cause riots if people don't have money, like food stamps to buy food and all. I think that that's what they want, Lord. That's definitely what they want to do. These are evil, evil people, and I pray that you would override their schemes and their plans, that they will not be successful. And give President Trump all the wisdom what to do, Lord, with dealing with these people now and what they've done already. Give him all the wisdom needed to end this, Lord, to put an end to it. And we thank you and praise you now in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 All right. Very good night tonight. Thank you, everybody. Don't forget your vitamin D3. Now, with vitamin D3, there's another vitamin you need to take with it, and it's K2. And it enhances how you absorb the vitamin D3. So when you go, I get mine at Vitamin Shop, and all you got to do is look for vitamin D3, and almost every place now they sell it. You can get it with vitamin K also. So I suggest that. All right. God bless everybody. And tomorrow morning I am at the men's prayer meeting. So it will be Sister Sharon and Sister Kathy here on Tuesday mornings, and I don't stream. All right, so God bless you now.
Oh God of burning, cleansing flame,
send the fire.
Your blood-bought gift.